For those of you who remember what it was like to dial from a number one step in the Bell system, let me just say that no tape of a step is complete without a call like this one. Takes me back. Now, of course, if you're not familiar with what that is, that's just what happens when you hit a blocked level. This is what you would hear if all trunks to a particular office were busy, but more often you would hear it when you had just dialed a vacant level and the vacant level recording was busy. A third situation in which you might hear this is when a digit-absorbing selector is catching the fact that you've dialed a digit that shouldn't be dialed at that particular point in time. Now, if that situation were to occur while you were calling out to a little independent step office, this office is 552 in a town called Fuquay Varina. It's a very, very small independent company, sort of a mom and pop. Now, normally, when you dial over a carrier system that's 2600 operated, as is the trunk to Fuquay Varina, normally the sound of selectors is cut out by relays that repeat the dial pulses. But on this particular trunk group, you can actually hear the selectors in Fuquay Varina operating, making kind of a type sound after the fourth and fifth digits. I'm going to call a supervision test in Fuquay Varina. Tangier, North Carolina has a similar office to this. Its code is 639, and I'm going to call the busy signal. Like the carrier system to Fuquay Varina, this trunk group also lets you hear the selector noises from the distant office, which is kind of nice. Now, we're already connected to Tangier as soon as we have dialed 63. So you'll hear us cut into the Tangier trunk on the second digit. The third digit, the 9 of 639, is absorbed, and you can hear that it's being absorbed out there. It just makes that quiet little tick. And then the next two digits you can hear cutting in. You can actually hear the selectors doing the cut-in process, which makes kind of a type sound. And once we hit the connector group, you even get crosstalk from a supervision test call that I had up on my other line. one strange thing you can do is you can call Anger 639 by way of Fuquay Varina 552. This route is not the normal way that calls would go through and is really just sort of a byproduct or an accident. Normally, when you call into a little office from the outside, you cannot access its outgoing trunks, but Fuquay Varina does let you access this trunk group. So on this next call, I'm going to dial 552. That'll put me into Fuquay Varina. Then I'll dial 39. At that point, you'll hear the trunk noise increase because we're getting a second trunk group there. And then I'll dial the last four digits of a supervision test. Let's call Angier one more time, the long way. This time I'm going to call the vacant level recording. We'll dial 552 to get to Fuquay Varina, 39 to get to Angier, and then the vacant level 1. In this part of North Carolina, the cities of Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill are thought of as making a triangle. Raleigh is served by Southern Bell, Chapel Hill is served by a government-owned independent company, and Durham is served by General Telephone. Now, Durham is not local to Raleigh, but there's one area, Research Triangle Park, which is part of that Durham General Telephone zone and is local to Raleigh, and we'll make a few calls to it. This first call goes to a recording which is really classic General Telephone.
You have reached a number that has been disconnected, no longer in service in the 5-4 office. If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number or try your call again.
And as you might have guessed, the 5-4 office is a step, and the trunks out there are T-carrier. That lovely fuzzy sound. Early 70s T-carrier, I'd say around, let's see. Sounds like it's around 1973-74 that this crap was put in. I remember it wasn't until around 1975 that I heard the first T-carrier link that I actually was happy to speak on. It really took him a while to get it right. The digital promise didn't really come true until the late 70s or early 80s. Anyway, the T-Carrier may be lousy, but we all love step, so let's hear a blocked level in the 5-4 office. Well, that's enough of that fuzzy stuff. Now, let's demonstrate some of the local test lines in the step from which we're dialing here. First, I'm going to dial 5-9, which is a very helpful test line if you're a phone freak. That was me talking through the earpiece because, of course, there was no talk battery on the line. You know, occasionally you want to find out if there's any extra equipment on your phone line. Maybe something watching the numbers you dial and listening for funny things going on. And a battery cutoff was extremely useful because you could dial this code, have your line go dead for about a minute, so that your line had no central office equipment at the other end to provide talk battery or capacitance or anything. Then you could measure to see whether there was a resistance or an odd capacitance across your line, indicating that there might be something extra there. Now, after about a minute of a dead line, everything would go back to normal. And hopefully by then you've run your tests and found out that there isn't anything on your line.
That's what you think.
Anyway, another local test line is on the code 5-7. When you dial 5-7, you get a second dial tone, and then you can use that to either ring your phone back or to check your dial speed. First, let me demonstrate the ring back feature. I'll dial 5-7, get a second dial tone, dial 6, and hang up. That's the way the ringing on my phone line, which is actually ringing my phone bell at this point, sounds as heard through my phone patch. Now, if I lower the sensitivity of my phone patch while the phone is ringing, you'll notice that it sounds pretty much like what you'd hear calling me normal. Now that is a characteristic of Bell System electromechanical offices. Pretty much, the ringtone you hear while you're calling someone's phone is exactly what's going out on his line at that moment. The tone and the 20 hertz and everything, just through attenuation. And it's pretty much the same attenuation in step, panel, and crossbar. Now I'll set my phone patch back to normal and pick up the phone, and on the dial tone I get then, I'll dial 2. 2, after a pause, will give me a third dial tone, which is very, very loud, and this is the dial speed checker test. On the third dial tone, I dial a 0, and when it sees that my dial speed is correct, it'll put me into a loud, continuous ring tone. From the continuous ring, which indicated my dial was good, I reset it by dialing a 2 and then dialed a 0 that was a little too fast, and the reorder indicated that. And you get a busy if your dial is too slow. By the way, this is the only number one step I've seen that has no double ring in the entire office. You can't even get double ring through the ringback circuit. Now, there's also a ringback circuit especially for use by party lines. It is the number that they tell you to dial to reach another party on your line. And the code here is 50 plus a single digit, and that single digit depends on which party you are and which party you're trying to call. 501 was the code that a two-party line would always use because it rings single ring on ring and on tip. So if either party wants to call the other, they just dial 501 and hang up. The party line ringback doesn't have a second dial tone. But by the time I recorded it in 1979, there was something wrong with the party line ringback, such that instead of ringing, it just held your phone up and put some cool tone plant background noise on the line. On two subsequent calls, I'm going to dial 50 plus one digit and hang up, and instead of my phone ringing, it's just going to go to this cool tone plant background noise for as long as my phone's hung up. Now in the silent place where the party line conversation is supposed to occur, I'm going to hang up on it and call back again, and we'll get a different cool noise instead of a ring. Let me just say again, that was the noise on my phone line while it was hung up. My phone was supposed to be ringing, but it wasn't. And ironically, we did hear some crosstalk from other phones ringing somewhere, but not mine. Well, that's it for this segment. In the next segment, there's going to be a collection of various and sundry things. For one thing, I'll demonstrate dropping a card in a nearby Crossbar 5 office. That's right, actually generating a trouble report from here. You don't want to do that too much because it really annoys the foreman, but one card isn't going to hurt him. Also, I'm going to show you a cool thing I found that's a meeting place that actually could be used to talk to somebody for free if you wanted to use it for that. It's a situation where one person dials one number, another person dials the other, and they're connected together. Just one of those many things that used to exist in the old network that made it kind of interesting and really were responsible for my getting interested in this stuff in the first place, these accidental meeting places. And I'll make a few calls to offices that are maybe 5 or 10 miles away and have individual cable pair trunks. Now, individual cable pair trunks have their own unique sound to them. They'll sound like this, or this, or maybe this. What gives them that sound is that the trunks have repeaters on them, which tend to go into oscillation when the trunks are idle. So there you are using one individual cable pair trunk, and there's always this crosstalk from all the other idle trunks that are running alongside it that are squealing like heck because they go into oscillation. It's really one of my favorite things about the old network, wire trunks. Coming up next.